Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. We greet you whether you are in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Whether you are on the continent of South America, the continent of Africa, the European theater, the Far East, the country of Russia, Finland, we greet you and say Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sabbath. I was going to do a precept on conviction this morning. And as I was, you know, going through conviction and thinking about the new moon service, it just hit me that this new moon, this beginning of month, service that, you know, people seem to be offended by, especially, you know, and I'm speaking to, let me qualify it this way. Let me speak to my Hebrew brothers and sisters and all those that want to be part of Israel. This is a day commanded by the Most High that we keep. And I'm going to do a short lesson on it this morning. We're going to do the feast, the new moon feast this evening. But I'm going to do a short lesson on it because the Most High says I really need to address this and to address the scriptures where, you know, people are thinking that they're not supposed to keep these days. It's just like, you know, they don't believe they're supposed to keep the Sabbath. They don't believe that they're supposed to keep the feast days of the Most High. They don't believe, you know, just not believing things that are, that the scripture is not saying. And so I wanted to address this, especially for Israel. You know, to the churches, do your thing. But to Israel, we are in sin. And, you know, we say we're keeping the statutes, the laws, the commandments of the Most High. But the truth of the matter is, this new moon or beginning of month service is just as important as his Sabbath, his weekly Sabbath. And so it is something that is critical and crucial to us. And so I want to go, you know, over the verses and why the Most High said he didn't want these things, the reason that he doesn't want them, and not that he wants us to stop. But if we are in a certain condition, he doesn't want it. So if Israel is in sin, the Most High doesn't want an offering from Israel that is in sin. The Most High doesn't want an offering from a saint that is in sin. He says, no, don't come to me in this condition and bring me an offering as though you have a right to bring me an offering. Don't observe my feast days if you are in sin. So we're going to look and see exactly what the Most High says concerning this, because this is really, I believe that Israel is missing the mark. You know, like I said, I can't speak to the churches because the churches don't keep the feast days anyway. But, you know, it's as with a lot of things in the scriptures, it's like people treat this as though Most High is asking us to do another thing. You know, this is the mindset that I get from people, you know, and then they want to find every scripture that says, oh, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be keeping that. We're no longer required to do that. We're not required to make the offerings, the sin offerings. Messiah did that, but we are to offer ourselves, which is our reasonable service. We're the sacrifice we're supposed to be offering. If we're not in sin, then we're supposed to come to the Most High during these times. This was supposed to be a happy time for Israel with the Most High. And it's a joyous time for the Most High. They say, hey, you are ruining my good time. This is basically what I'm seeing in the scriptures. You're ruining my good time. I made it, you know, a point that I would meet you at the beginning of the month. And we would have a feast, and it would be a good time. And, yeah, I would also let you offer a sin offering for those who were in sin. You know, I'm in the forgiving mood. This is when I'm coming. And so I want you to do this thing. But, you know, Israel, I see a lot of parroting of doctrine and what one camp might start. You know, somebody picked up on and said, yeah, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I need to be doing that. But we never really do our complete homework. And then it's like anything that we find in the scriptures that, you know, the Most High is tasking us with something. We never want it to me, that's just maybe to me, but to me, we never seem to want to be complete, thorough in what we do. We just want to go through the motions. And say, oh, yeah, you know, if I put on some tassels, I'm a Hebrew. If I say I obey the statutes, laws, and commandments, which are saying the same things, really, if I say that I'm obeying those things, then, you know, I'm a Hebrew. But the truth of the matter is we are not thorough in what we do. And when the Most High showed me this, you know, this feast, And I went to other camps, you know, and asked them, hey, are you doing this? Do you observe this? And they're like, no. We're not required to do that. I said, wait a minute. The Most High says we are required to do it. And so, you know, it's like we don't want something else that we have to do for the Most High. But these are required, and if we are in the covenant, it is required. So I wanted to go over this morning. I'll talk about convictions another time, because I do want, you know, everyone who is associated with this ministry to attend the new moon services, just like you should attend Sabbath, the weekly Sabbaths, and the yearly feast days, you know, because people, you know, this feast, this beginning of month feast, is, as I said, is equal to, if not greater than, the weekly Sabbath. It's more sacrifices that were required for this day than, you know, the weekly Sabbath. So this is highly important to the Most High, but he, you know, I know this is very special to him. And that, you know, it was when he told Israel, I don't want it from you anymore. We're going to look at why he said he don't want it. It's not that he didn't want it. He says, you know what? If you are in this condition, no, I don't want you bringing, I don't want you coming before me that way. So we're going to look at these things. So let me do this. Let me bring up our statement of faith. Because I was kind of ran out of time, head deep into looking at this matter, because most of just like I say, put it on my heart that you know you need to readdress this. It's the beginning of the year. It happens to be the beginning of the Greco-Roman year, not ours. But you know, there's a lot of people of us still, I believe, that celebrate New Year's, even if they say they're Hebrews, they're still out, you know, celebrating the Gregorian New Year's. But it is the beginning of their year. As I said, ours will start in April. But I want to address this for this evening so that, you know, the saints have an understanding of how important this is. It's not just something that we do. It's not just a new, you know, fad that Brother Miles, you know, found and said, oh, we need to do this to make up something to do. The Most High really doesn't operate with me that way. If it's things that we shouldn't be doing, he's going to let me know, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Like I said, go, you know, make a sacrifice to the Most High, a free will offering sacrifice. It sounds good. You put build an altar of stone. He said, hey, don't let no tool come against it. So you can't build an altar, you know, with a hammer and nails and screws and that kind of. He said, no, make it out of earthen stone and don't cut on it. Don't, you know, it's got to be natural stone. But then he says, you know what? You can't make me a sacrifice without the temple. You got to bring it to the door of the temple. And if you are doing it out in the fields, if you're doing it anywhere else and you don't bring it before me, it's a sin. So I said, okay, Most I showed me. Before you go down that road, no, it's a sin. So, you know, and it was in my mind to do that. But the Most I said, and it wasn't going to be a sin offering. It's going to be a free will offering, which is supposed to be a sweet smell in his nostril. But the truth of the matter is, he said, no, don't do it. The temple ain't here. Don't do it. Okay, so we are that sacrifice. We are that living sacrifice. We're to offer ourselves. And so we're going to look at this because if we don't keep the new moon, then we shouldn't be keeping Passover. We shouldn't be keeping Tabernacles. We shouldn't be keeping Pentecost. You know, we shouldn't be keeping any of these. If we go by what, you know, some people's understandings are. But the truth of the matter is, when the Most High said, don't let people judge you in this thing, we're going to look at that. And what exactly are the scriptures talking about? Because people are taking this thing and twisting it. I mean, really twisting it, going outside, when it's talking about the doctrines of men, they're trying to apply it to the doctrine and the commandments of the Most High. So let us do our statement of faith. It is, you know, and I didn't do this last night, so we're going to do this way. We're going to sound the shofar first, okay, and then we're going to come in and do our statement of faith. Again, I want to welcome everyone, whether you're in Pal Talk or in Blog Talk on the Internet in general. Happy Sabbath. I have changed the topic for this morning to the New Moon service. We're not conducting the New Moon service, but we're going to look at why we are to keep it, just as we keep the weekly Sabbath. Okay, and this today happens to be a new moon, a beginning of month. And the Most High said, you know, that we should keep this. And so I want to go over it so that we have clarity. And then, you know, I'm going to rewrite this up to send it out to everybody that I deal with, whether they attend the ministry or not, and say, hey, you guys are just, you know, you're out of the will of the Most High on this thing. And you're in transgression because we are commanded to keep it. But I want to make sure that, you know, I have the rationale, the documentation down, as he has shown me this morning, and to make sure that if they're going to come back with something, they're going to have to come back with something solid and not with just, you know, the verses that people have traditionally used, okay, because, you know, he has taken me in here and had me to dissect this thing and to look at what is the context of the scriptures, the conversation that's going on, and why, you know, what have people done with this? So this is critical, as I said, this day, the beginning of month, is just as important, equal to the weekly Sabbaths and his yearly holy days. It is a holy day, okay? And there are laws that go along with it. So I pray that, you know, we are patient, and that we are open-minded. And if you got a question, if you got a comment, if you disagree, yeah, I want to hear from you after you hear the evidence. After you hear the evidence. All right, let us sound the shofar. our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies uncover your heads, men uncover your heads, as we go to our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, HaMashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah, Father. We come before you this morning to worship and to praise you, Father, and to honor you in this your Shabbat. Hallelujah. As your people, Father, we just want to be obedient and obey your commandments, Father, and be before you in uprightness, Father, in a righteous manner. Hallelujah, Father. So we just want to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise on this morning, and ask that you would come and that you would be with us, Father, that you would make your presence known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let us turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, you have said that your people, Israel, have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And we are repenting from our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Mashiach, that they would hear your voice, obey, come into salvation, and keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. And in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, and I will have to go before the Most High and see if there's something else that he would want us to do coming up in the start of our new year, the new message, but this is to remind Israel who we are. Let us not ever lose sight of this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, personalized version. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. And yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplications in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to play a song this morning. And I need to actually get me something to drink. My throat is dry, so while this is playing, I'll get something to drink. And then we're going to come back and jump into this precept. I have changed the precept from this morning from conviction to the new moon service and why the scriptures say we are to keep it. So I want to walk through this thing so that we know that we're commanded to do this. Okay.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. I protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that to stand. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
Make way to the water. Walk me to the fire. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
All right, amen, 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 amen. The book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. We want to set some baselines here. Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. So when we read about these sacrifices in Torah, I want you to understand, and for each and every person listening, that Messiah is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. All other sacrifices that were in the scriptures, you're supposed to take the place of. Each and every one of us, our life has to be holy before the Most High. We have to walk unblemished. We have to be clean to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. The requirements for a sacrifice was that it had to be clean. Number one, it had to be without blemish. That blemish in our lives represents sin. He says, so offer yourself as that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking you to do too much. I ain't asking you to do a whole lot here. This is your reasonable service. So in all of these sacrifices that we read, understand today, you and I would take the place of these sacrifices, our lives, and our offering to the Most High. So when we read about these sacrifices, I want you to, only reason I want to read about these sacrifices in Torah, because I want you to understand and go back to yourself. We don't have time. We've done it in the past. We don't have time to do it this morning. But the Most High tells us what the sacrifices are for the Sabbath, what the sacrifices are for the new moon, what the sacrifices are for each feast day, what the daily sacrifices were. And the new moon is equivalent or greater than the weekly Sabbath when it comes to sacrifices, and we were commanded to keep it. So let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 28. The book of Numbers, chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 11. So we're going to walk this thing down so that, you know, like I said, this is message to Israel. The churches are going to do what the churches are going to do. But if we say we are Israel, then I want to lock this thing down so that, you know, people don't think Brother Miles is coming up something of his own accord, but that the Most High commands this thing and why he told Israel to stop and why he said he never wanted the blood of bulls and goats. He never wanted it for sin. But we know from the scriptures that peace offerings and free will offerings, anything but a sin offering, was a sweet smell in the nostril of the Most High. He loved these things. He says, but if you're offering it to me, you know, for peace or for free will, because you just want to give me a sacrifice, that's a sweet smell in my nostril. But it's for sin. He says, I never wanted it for sin. I never wanted these animals to die for your sin. That's what he didn't want. But Numbers chapter 28, starting in verse 11. And in the beginning of your month, the month starts with the new moon. Okay, and that's why we say the new moon service. That's how he's saying the beginning of the months here. This is equivalent to saying in your new moons. In the beginning of your months, you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yah, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without spot, and 3/10 deal of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and for 1 bullock, and 2/10 deal of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil for 1 ram, and a several tenth of the deal of flour mingled with oil for meat offerings unto one lamb, for a burnt offering and a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yah. See, this sweet savor, these sacrifices smelled good to the Most High. This was something pleasurable to him. Now, he allowed them to bring a sin offering as well in case somebody was coming before him and they were in sin. But it couldn't be willful sin. It had to be what? Ignorant sin. Okay, that's the only type of sacrifice he would accept for sin. And their drink offering shall be a half a hin of wine, verse 14, and unto a bullock, and a third part of a hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month, throughout the months of the year. So Israel was required to do this at the beginning of every month, throughout all the months of the year. This is where he instituted it at, okay? Let's go to Numbers chapter 10. The book of Numbers, chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, your happy times, and in your solemn days, your holy days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And that they may be to you for a memorial before Yah, before your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. So he commands them. This is the blowing of the trumpet. But at the beginning of your month, you're supposed to blow the trumpet on the feast days. Because he tells us that when we blow the trumpet, he will come. And if we're in trouble, he will come. And he will see about what's going on, and he will handle it. Okay, so he says to blow the trumpet in the new moons, in the beginning of the month. Now, we know that this is not the Gregorian calendar beginning of the month. It's not the 1st of January, even though the new moon falls tomorrow, which starts tonight, the evening, and we're going to celebrate this evening. The new moon actually starts this evening for this month in January of 2022. But it doesn't correlate with the first day of the month on the calendar. It correlates with the new moon. That's the beginning of every month. So he says your new moons. Let's see, where was I at? At the beginning of your month. Okay, let's go to Nehemiah, because the requirement was on the Sabbath days, on the holy days, in the beginning of the month was a holy day. You weren't supposed to buy or sell or do anything. You're supposed to treat it like a Sabbath. And if the people, Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31. And if the people of the land bring ware or victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath, or on the holy day. The new moon is a holy day. Any holy days. And that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Okay. But what we're pulling out of here is that if the people of the land, see, Israel is already supposed to have been on lockdown. And the problem was, in Nehemiah's day, the local people around about Jerusalem, those people who weren't Hebrew Israelites, who weren't keeping the laws of the Most High, they wanted to trade on the Sabbath day. They wanted to trade and to sell on the Sabbath and on the holy days. And Israel had been violating it. Israel had been violating the Sabbath and the holy days and doing business on the holy days, going out and shopping on the holy days, selling on the holy days. And Nehemiah came in and said, you know, we found the book of the law, and we're not supposed to be doing this, so he shut it down. He shut it down and threatened all those vendors, all those people that wanted to be there selling on the Sabbath and on the holy days. He threatened them with their life. Get away from here. You can't be doing that. We're not violating the Sabbath anymore. We're not violating the holy days anymore. So this would also apply to the new moon. Okay, it's not like every other day. This is a special day before the Most High. Let's look at what Yah didn't want. Okay? Let's look at what caused him to say, I don't want this. Because see, we're gonna bring this thing into the New Testament. Because you know, we covered the old covenant. And we know that, you know, the Most High is very strict in Torah about his feast days, about what we did. We had to do it exactly the way that he said to do it. We couldn't, you know, add to or take away from it. And we were to keep it. It's a commandment to keep them. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1. Because we want to look at what the Most High wants and what he don't want. Okay? The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzzi, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yah has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So he's talking from the standpoint, this is going to be an admonishment. Why? Because the children of Israel have rebelled. They have not kept the covenant. The ox knoweth its owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. A sinful nation. They're in sin. They have rebelled. Laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. So the people are in a mess. They are a mess. Like today. A mess. And the Most High is saying, hey, tell my people, verse 5, why should you be stricken? Why should I beat you anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. They're just corrupt. Now, this is the context of what he's talking to them about. This is the reason and the context. You are a sinful nation. You are sick from the head to the foot. Why should I chastise you? That's what we're talking about, beating you. Why should I chastise you anymore? You just rebel more and more. The more I chastise you, the worse you get. You are hard-headed. I've dealt with people like that. The more you chastise them, they don't get better. They get worse. And so you're stuck there with like, well, what am I going to do? I can't beat them to death. And they won't do what I say do. So then what do? This is where the Most High is at. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefied sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city because of their sin. They are being overran by the strangers, the other nations, but it's because of their wickedness. And so they're left like a little, Israel is left like a little cottage, a little island in there, but they're surrounded by strangers, okay? Except Yah's host had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and as like unto Gomorrah. Now, he's going to compare Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not talking to Sodom and Gomorrah directly. Because, see, he's going to address the kings of Sodom. But he's equating Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yah, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Why are you making sacrifices to me when you don't obey my voice? You don't keep my commandments. You are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. What is the purposes of your sacrifices unto me? saith Yah, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. Why? Because they are in sin. You coming to me, you trying to make a peace offering, you trying to make a willful offering, you trying to keep the new moons, the holy days, and you're in sin. I don't want those things from you if you're in that condition. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring me no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Now he told them to keep these, but they are a nation that is what? In sin. And people want to come, and he says, you want to bring me the sacrifices of fed animals, fed beasts, the cattle and all this, and I don't want it from you if you're in sin. I'm sick of it. It makes me sick to my stomach. My soul hates it. Not because I hate the sacrifices. I hate it because of your condition. I hate the new moons because of your condition. I made this a special time for me to come and meet with you. But you want me to meet with you, and you don't want to do what I say do. You don't want to obey my voice. You want to do what you want to do. And I don't want it from you in that condition. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Why are you bringing me sacrifices and performing sacrifices before me? And you are in sin. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, do the things I ask you to do. Come now, let us reason together, saith Yah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient. This was the problem. They were not being obedient. And they were not willing to become obedient. They were just wicked. And Most High says, why are you bringing me these sacrifices? I gave you, there's a sin offering, but all these other sacrifices that you're bringing me that are supposed to be in peace, the free will offering, the peace offering, these sacrifices that you're doing, the new moon offerings, the feast day offerings, why are you doing them and you are in sin? These are good times for me and you making it to where I hate it. Where I hate it. My soul hates it because of your condition. I want us to catch this. Because of their condition, he says, no, I don't want this. He says, now, if you do good, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat good of the land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yah has spoken it. This is the problem with Israel at this time. The Most High says, you know what? The blood of bulls and goats, he's not saying that I don't want those. He's saying, I don't want them from you if you are in sin. I don't want them from you if you are being rebellious. I don't want them from you if you're not obeying my voice. I don't want them from you if you are willfully sinning and then trying to come to me and act like everything is okay. This is why he says your new moons, your holy days, your sacrifices, the bulls and goats. The Most High doesn't want us to even offer ourselves if we are in sin. We are supposed to be that living sacrifice. He said, well, you in sin, you are willfully practicing sin, you know you are in sin, and you think you're going to come before me and offer yourself? He says, it stinks to me. I don't want it. So we got to understand, this is what he doesn't want, is for us to come before him defiled, unclean, blemished, and offer a sacrifice. Not even ourselves. We are that living sacrifice today. And we're supposed to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to him, on his holy days, on his Sabbaths, during the new moons. He don't want it if we're in sin. I pray we hear this. He doesn't want it when we're in sin. But if we're not in sin, then he wants it. If we're doing right, if we're being willful and obedient, willfully obeying his voice and being obedient to his statutes, laws, and commandments, the law. He says, yeah, I want these things. They are commanded for you to keep them forever. But not if you're in sin. Don't bring me. Don't come and say, let's have a good time. Come on, Most High. Let's you and I go and have a good time. And we're at peace with each other. And you are being disobedient. He said, uh-uh. Homie, don't play that. The Most High don't play that. He said, so, no, don't do that. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Because this is what the world uses, okay? Not to keep the feast days, not to keep the Sabbath, not to keep the new moons. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He forgave you all your trespasses when you came to him. See, this is that going back to that fallacy of, we can just sin, and he is true and just to forgive us. We've been over this a number of times, but we're going to revisit it for a minute so we understand that when we're doing the feast days and when we're doing the new moon, the Sabbath, that we can't just be in any condition coming to him. Okay? Has he quickened and forgiven all your trespasses? Now, these are not all your trespasses. Future. Because this is the verse people use, verses like this, that people use that, hey, he's going to forgive all your sins no matter what. It is a fallacy and it is false. Let's go to Romans chapter. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, and then we're going to come back to this. Romans chapter 3. It says all of your sins were forgiven. Okay? Romans chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 25. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are, again, it should already be underlined in your Bible, past through the forbearance of Elohim. This is what Messiah died for, your sins that are past. The day that you came to him and you acknowledged him as your master, your savior, you went down in the water, you were baptized, all of your sins up to that point and past, all of them were forgiven. past. Now you still got to deal with your actions in the future, your actions from that time forward. And we're just gonna say it this way. We already know these things have been taught enough, but for the record, for those who may be hearing for the first time, the Most High has two categories of sin. Willful sin, sin that you know that you're doing, and ignorant sin. Sin that you don't know. It's still sin, but you don't know it's sin. The willful sin he will not forgive. He says your unrighteousness will remain upon you. Your iniquity shall remain upon you if you sin willfully. And then you have to pray that he has mercy at that point. That he's going to have mercy on you. Because he says, hey, you knew what you were doing wrong and you did it anyway. There ain't no blood for that. Now, if you sin ignorantly, he says, in the new covenant, if you sin ignorantly, he says you can confess your sin. The day you find out about it, just like in Torah, the day that you find out that you were a sinner, you are required in Torah to confess it as well and repent. Then you can bring a sacrifice to the priest, and he can make an atonement for you. In today's time, when you find out that you are committing a sin, he says that you are to confess it, and then it's forgiven up under Messiah. He is true and just to forgive you that ignorant sin. The day you found out about it, you said, okay, I repent of it. I'm turning away from it. I'm no longer going to do that anymore. He says he is true and just to forgive you. Okay? So when we come to him, then we should be of a clean conscience. Now, if we're willfully sinning, that's a whole nother story, a whole nother beast. So this is what he's dealing with. Let's go back to Colossians. Understand that Messiah died for your sins that are past, not future sins. He didn't die for all your sins that you would commit after you came to him. He died for all your sins that you committed before you came to him. After you came to him, up to that date and that time, everything was, as it said in the scripture, all your sins were forgiven. That's the only time that happens. They don't keep happening over and over and over again. He says, you're not going to keep putting me up on that cross. You're not going to keep coming and dipping into the blood unworthy. So if you know that it's wrong and you do it, he says, no. Now, we've covered this on many occasions, so I'm just reviewing it here so that those that you can go look up those verses. If you need to get the verses, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 30. We're not going to cover it today. We're talking about what the Most High, why he doesn't want and when he doesn't want a sacrifice. When he doesn't want us to be in observance of his feast days. Because when we read in Colossians a certain verse that the world is using to not keep his Sabbaths, not keep his feast days, not keep his new moons, and we're talking about the new moon in specific, he declared that the new moon was to be kept by Israel every month. And these sacrifices were to be made every month. Okay? Back to Colossians, chapter 2, and let's just start in verse 13 again. I forgot where I left off at. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. The ordinances were the judgments. That's why we went over these terms last night. Ordinances were the judgments. You trespassed. I judged you. My judgment said this should happen to you. When Messiah wiped out your sins, he wiped out those judgments. He did not wipe out the law. He said contrary. the law would not pass. As long as heaven and earth was here, the law was not going to be done away with, not one jot or tittle of it. He would modify some of it, he said, but it ain't going to be done away with. It's not going to happen. But the judgments that were against you, the charges, were dropped. They were wiped away until you went and committed another offense. Now, again, this goes back to whether you committed that offense willfully, knowing that you, hey, I'm about to commit a crime. I know I'm about to commit a crime. And you go ahead and commit it anyway. Or you did something, you didn't know it was a crime. And the Most High says, okay, I'll forgive that ignorant sin. I'll forgive that ignorant crime because you didn't know it was a crime. Yeah, it's still a crime, but you didn't know it. I'm not going to charge you with that. So the day you find out about it, repent of it, turn away from it, don't do it no more, and I will forgive you. But if you willfully commit this crime, there's no more blood. So we got to understand that. So he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. See, when we think ordinances equals laws, because see, this is where my mind was at one time. The ordinances means laws, statutes, commandments. No, ordinance means judgment. He blotted out the judgment. So you had already been tried. That you had transgressed against his commandments, his law. And the ordinance was the penalty. The law requires your death. He said, I'm going to blot that out. But see, people read this and think that he's saying he's blotting out the commandments. And he's not saying that. I'm blotting out the judgments that were against you, which was contrary to us. The judgments were contrary to us because they put us, they said, hey, you're supposed to die. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So he took the judgments that were against us and nailed them to his cross. He said, okay, I'm wiping this out. I am forgiving you all your trespasses and all the penalties that you're supposed to pay. I'm wiping it out. You got a clean slate. For all your sins that are what? Past. Because see, we think we come to him and we just got a debit card, a sin debit card that we can just do withdrawals on whenever we want to sin, and the Most High is going to cover it. He says, no, I'm not going to cover that. If it's ignorant, I'll cover it. If it's willful, I'm not going to cover it. Okay? We got to understand that. So he blotted that out, everything that was past. This is what it's talking about. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you. Judgment, ordinances. He took away the judgments. He says, let no man judge you in me. How do you get judged? When you transgress. When you transgress, then judgment comes. If you don't transgress, ain't no judgment coming. You ain't violated nothing. Let no man judge you in meat or drinks or in respect of holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Don't let no man judge you in those things. He's not saying that person come to you and say, oh, you don't keep these. You can't judge me. That is not what this is about. This is about him taking away the ordinances that were against you, the judgments that were against you, because you transgressed and you didn't keep it, or you were keeping them and you were in sin. Coming before the Most High, unclean, unholy, and saying, hey, you know, he's got to accept me. He don't. He told Israel, you are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Don't bring me no sacrifices. I don't want them from you in this condition. These things are supposed to be a sweet savor, a sweet smell in my nose, and when you are in sin, they stink to me. They stink. So when we keep the new moon, when we keep Sabbath, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, New Moons, we keep any of these, we're not supposed to be willfully practicing sin. We're not supposed to be evil. We're supposed to be bringing ourselves and offering ourselves. And we say, oh, you know, well, it's okay if I got spots. It's okay. The Most High accepts sacrifices that are got spot, that they are maimed, they are unclean. No, he don't. He doesn't accept those. And he said, make sure that your sacrifice is what? Without blemish. If you're that living sacrifice, then you got to be without blemish. That means you got to be consciously walking before him and doing everything you can to do what? Stay clean. Not doing everything you can to live the life and say, oh, well, he's got to forgive me. He don't have to forgive you, and more than likely will not, according to the scriptures. People want to throw themselves into the category of David. Okay? Want to throw themselves into that category, and you're taking a big, giant risk throwing yourself into that category because you may not have the heart and the mind of David. So your circumstances don't apply. I wouldn't take that chance. Okay? Let no man judge you. Let no man find you guilty of meat or of drink or of respect to a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. People will take that and say, hey, you can't judge me. Scripture says, don't let you judge me concerning this thing. You ain't got an opinion on this, because that's what they think a judgment is. It's what they're trying to equate it to. That's your understanding. That is, you can't judge me on that thing. I'm not required to keep it. This is what they believe. But we're required to keep it. He says, now, I don't want it from you, just like the Most High says, if you don't want to give me an offering, I don't want it from you. I don't want you to do anything for me I don't want you to give me any type of offering that you don't want to give. I don't want it from you because your heart is not right. The condition of your heart is not right. And you're trying to make me an offering that you don't want to give. You're not giving it freely. Then I don't want it. That's what he's saying. The same thing here. If you are in sin, he says, hey, I don't want you coming before me during the new moons or during the Sabbath day or the feast days trying to make amends. You need to get right with me before then. He says, who has required this thing of you that you should bring me an offering and you are steadily doing wickedness? You're steadily sinning. Who told you to do that? He says, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to come and be ye holy, for I am holy. You want to make a sacrifice before me? Come holy. Come clean. Make your offering. I will find it pleasing, a sweet smell in my nostril. But if you are in wickedness, if you are sinning, I don't want that. I don't want that. Okay? So we got to understand. When he's saying judge here, let no man judge you. He's not saying don't keep these things. He didn't declare that all meats were clean. He didn't say you could eat every animal in practice, you know, as a way of life. He said there are some circumstances that I will allow it. But as a common everyday thing, no, you're not to practice eating unclean animals. You're not to practice getting drunk all the time. You're not to drink anything I say don't drink, and then you're not to practice getting drunk. Not that you can't drink, but you can't be drunk all the time. Don't let nobody judge you in respect to a holy day. I said to keep these days, and if you go back to Leviticus chapter 23 or Numbers chapter 28, he lists all the holy days there again with the new moons. That's why I went to Numbers chapter 28, because that's where he instituted that particular day. And said that we were supposed to keep it. The new moons, along with the Sabbath day, along with the yearly feast days. And these are the sacrifices that you're to offer month after month. At the beginning of every month. Special day. Let's continue. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Said, let no man judge you in these things, which are a shadow of things to come. Now, he ordered this for Israel to keep, to observe this day, these days, this day in particular, the new moon. And he says, which is a shadow of things to come. So they were keeping it even when it was a shadow of things to come. Because the feast days do a few things for us. Number one, they tell us what the Most High, what he celebrates, number one. What's important to him, number two. What his moves are. He gives a holiday, a feast day for something that he has done or going to do. And then he says, we're to keep them. We're to keep them because they're important to him. So all of a sudden, these days ain't important to him. Oh, they're just a shadow of things to come. Let's find out what's to come so that we know what they are a shadow of. Because, see, we don't go look at that. We'll just take, oh, it's a shadow of things to come, so we ain't supposed to do it. No. This is the shadow. You see the outline of the thing in a shadow. You don't see all the details. But you see the outline of it, and you're supposed to do it. And you just don't have an understanding of what else is going to be included with this. But he tells us. So we know that, technically speaking, all Hebrew males are supposed to appear before him 3 times in a year. All Hebrew males are supposed to appear before him 3 times in a year. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Supposed to do that. Okay? That's the shadow. This is what Israel was doing. But let's see what the fulfillment of it is. The fulfillment of it. What's to come? Let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. And we're going to get verses 22 and 23. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, remember what Messiah said, the law would not pass away as long as this heaven and this earth remains. Not one jot or tittle would pass from the law. He says, but as for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed remain, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, now we know the new heavens and the new earth ain't here yet. So this is talking about future. From one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh, not just Israel. Here's the fulfillment of it. Right now, we just see a shadow of it. And right now, it's only supposed to be Israel doing it. But he says, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. Be required to come before him to Jerusalem. 3 times in a year, we're supposed to do that. That's the shadow. But in the fulfillment of it, the entire world will. All nations. And they're going to come when? Not just 3 times a year, but from one Sabbath to another, from one new moon to another. So why would people think that this is done away with? No, this is just like he gave it to Israel. You are to observe these things. And I'm speaking to Israel now. You are to observe these things. If the church don't do it, don't worry about the church. The church is going to do what the church does. But if you say you are Israel or you are joined to Israel, then he says, let no man judge you in this thing. Judgment comes because of transgression. Transgression. I hope we can hear that. Don't let any man judge you because you transgress the dietary laws. You transgress keeping the holidays, keeping Sabbath. Don't let no man judge you in those things. Because in the future, everybody gonna keep it. Whether they want to or not. It's gonna be a requirement. The Most High first gave it to Israel, his priesthood, and said, this is what you will do. Now somehow today, Israel don't want to keep this new moon. We were ordered to, in the law, to keep it. Numbers chapter 28. And if anybody tells you it's not required, take them to Numbers chapter 28. So that's what's going to be required in the future. That's the fulfillment of the shadow. Now, we are supposed to be keeping this today. If we keep Passover, Sabbath, or any of the yearly feasts and Sabbath, we're supposed to be keeping new moon as well. It is commanded. We don't make the animal sacrifices, we're to present ourselves. Messiah is the sin offering. He's supposed to have already paid for your sin. And you're not supposed to be willfully sinning anymore. Willfully sinning. Now you do something in ignorance, then we make sure as part of the new moon, we pray for those sins. Those things that we have done, we have transgressed in ignorantly. Because they can be forgiven. If you are in willful sin, I tell you straight up, you need to take that, you need to go before the Most High yourself. You need to go before him yourself. Get on your face and plead. Each individual. I don't have a dog in that hunt. There's nothing I can say. What do you want me to, you know, the Most High says, your iniquity shall remain upon you. Then you need to go to him and say, you know, I repent. I realize now my stupidity. I realize now, you know, that I've just been being flat out just stupid, disobedient. And, you know, I was being taught that, you know, I could just sin and confess it and you will forgive it. So no, the new moon service, we pray for those sins that we have committed ignorantly. We forgot to pray for somebody, or we didn't know we were supposed to pray for them, and we didn't do it. You know, those types of sins, things that we're not out here running around, you know, doing wickedness, and then want to come and say, oh, Most High, have mercy on me and forgive me. He said, no. We got to stop kind of playing him for, you know, Willie the Fool. Because he's not Willie the Fool. So we have to be living clean and uprighteous lives before him. It says, now, that which you do in ignorance, the day you it is sin to you, and the day you find out about it, you repent of it. Turn from it. That's what repentance means, to acknowledge it and turn away from it. Don't do it anymore. I know it's wrong, so I'm not going to do it anymore. That's what repentance means. Repentance don't mean, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to go do it again and then say, I'm sorry. I'll repent again. No, you can't repent again because it's willful sin at that point. So we have to understand that. He says, I don't want you coming to me in that condition, celebrating with me, making an offering to me, and you're not truly, truly repentant. This is why he said, I don't want those. I don't want it when you're in this condition. But if you will obey, then he says, we can make up. But your heart really has to be right before him. You got to really, really get it. So, you know, these things can't happen over and over again. You have to really get it and then really commit to it. He says, we can make up. Okay. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. Back to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to pick it back up in verse 18. So don't let no man judge you in these things. Judgment is only comes with transgression. Even the law of man does not judge you unless you what? Break it. You don't go before a judge if you have not broken a law. And it's the same way with this verse is talking about. Don't let no man judge you in these things. Don't let no man find you guilty in these things. Because as I said, what society, the church, and everybody else has done is, hey, you can't judge me. If I'm eating pork, you can't judge me. If I don't keep Sabbath, you can't judge me. If I don't keep the feast days, you can't judge me. That's not what that verse is saying. That's what they're making it say, but that's not what that verse is saying. It's talking to the saint. You were in sin, now you're not. Don't let nobody judge you in this because you're supposed to be keeping it now. That's why he talks about you were in sin, but now are you clean through Messiah? He forgave all your sins. That's the context of this chapter and those verses. And people have twisted it to make it say, oh, you can't judge me. So understand, that's not what is going on here. That's not what's going on in this chapter. That's not what it's saying in those verses. So don't let nobody find you guilty of these things. You, Messiah, cleaned you up. He forgave all your sins. He paid the price. Gave you a new slate. Don't let nobody find you guilty of these things again because they're transgressions. This is what Israel needs to understand. The church really needs to understand this too, but I'm talking to Israel today because we're the ones that say we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments. We're the ones that say that we keep the feast days, but somehow his new moon we won't keep when he commands that we keep it. And he even mentions it here. Let no man judge you in the new moons. Don't let him find you guilty. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. This is a person that doing what they want to do. Got their own doctrine. Okay? He sort of switches topics here. But he's saying, hey, don't be deceived. And don't let nobody rob you of your reward by telling you you ain't got to keep these things. And then want to tell you about worshiping some angels when you know the Most High said worship him alone. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knitted together increases with the increase of Elohim. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, if you're dead with him, you're supposed to die and were buried with Christ. Okay? And be dead from the rudiments, the things of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, judgments? Why are you subject to judgments? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of who? The Most High? No. It says after the commandments and doctrines of men. Don't follow after the commandments and doctrines of men. Keeping the feast days is not a doctrine of man. Eating clean is not a doctrine of man. Keeping Sabbath is not a doctrine of man. Keeping the new moon is not a doctrine of man. It's a doctrine and a commandment of the Most High. But he's talking about them specifically dealing with the commandments and doctrine of men. Don't let nobody deceive you. Tell you you got to do this or you don't got to do that. Keep with the word of the Most High. Stay with Yah. And you can't go wrong. Stop listening to these people giving you their opinion, which is contrary to Scripture, giving you their doctrine and their commandment. Because Yah has given his doctrine and his commandment. Says you will do this from month to month. And if you are in sin, if you are wicked, I don't want you doing it. If you are willfully sinning, I don't want it from you. Because this is supposed to be a sweet smell in my nostril. Hold on a minute. Give me a hot second here. All right. I need to find another verse. I'll find it, but we'll continue. So he doesn't want us following the commandments and the doctrine of men. He says, let no man beguile you. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him trick you. Don't let him tell you you don't have to keep these things. Don't let them judge you in these things. Don't let them find you guilty of not doing it. Because see, judgment comes with transgression. So let no man judge you in this. Don't let them find you guilty of breaking the dietary laws, of breaking the feast days, of breaking the new moons. They will judge you. You know what they're doing? They're using reverse psychology, and this is wickedness. If you keep in it, they're telling you that you are a legalist, and you're trying to keep the law. Damn right. I'm trying to keep the law. Because if I don't, I'm a transgressor. So you got to understand. They are twisting these verses, and they're using them not to keep, when the scriptures are actually saying the opposite. Saying the opposite. So when we come together and we're doing these things, I want us to understand that we are commanded to do it. And I want us to understand that if we are running around out here doing our own thing, we shouldn't be keeping Passover. We shouldn't be coming up and sinning all year long, knowing that we're doing wrong, and then say, we want to keep the Passover. We shouldn't be coming up here sinning all year long, knowing that we're sinning, willfully sinning, and then say, I'm going to come to the Day of Atonement, and I'm going to make atonement. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The Most High never allow atonement for willful sin. He only allowed atonement for ignorant sin. So we got to understand that. This is the mindset of the Most High. You want to come before me? You want to bring a sacrifice? You want to make an offering to me? I want it to be a sweet smell in my nostrils. You want to pray and give me praise and worship me? I want it to be a sweet smell in my nostril. I don't want you coming and offering yourself and you are blemished with willful sin. We need to address that first, and I need to really see that you are truly repentant. And again, this is going to be on the Most High. Brother Miles ain't got a heaven or a hell to put you into. But I know what he says in his word. And I know that he don't always forgive. He don't always forgive. That's why he puts it in his word. Esau despised his birthright, which was a sin. And when he realized what he had done, he went back and he started with tears, boo-hooing and crying. And, you know, I didn't realize. Most High says, reject. Sorry, dude. I'm not accepting your repentance. So he don't always forgive, and people got him always forgiving, and he don't. And he specifically tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, that if we willfully sin, there remaineth no more blood for sacrifice for that sin. You can't bring that up under the blood because you knew. Can't go and apply if we confess our sins. Can't apply it to that. Then when we find ourselves in that condition, then we got to go to him. I say it's a personal thing. A personal thing. You got to truly be repentant before the Most High. Don't even come to me with that. I'm going to tell anybody. Don't even come to me with that. You knew you were doing wrong? And you want me to pray for you? You need to go before the Most High yourself on that. You need to humble yourself and get on your knees, on your face, and go before the Most High yourself. Because I'm not going to ask him something that he's already said no on. You know, that's why I said, when I found out, you know, I always wondered. And, you know, you wonder, the Most High lets you see it, because sometimes you read stuff and you just don't realize what you're reading. But I always wondered, why didn't Moses ever go back to the Most High and say, you know, I messed up, and I really want to go into the Promised Land. And I know you've already said no, but please reconsider and let me go into the Promised Land. I always wondered, why didn't he do that? But found it in the scripture where he did. And the Most High said, no, don't even bring it to me no more. So he's not this person that people are making him out to be. He makes a judgment, And 99.9% of the time, 99.9% of the time, his judgment is going to stand. There is a chance that he might repent of his judgment towards you. That's why you need to go. That's why you need to go and lay out before him. There's a 0.01% chance he might repent of the judgment he has put on you for willful sin. That's better than no chance. That's better than no chance. So I think that each, every person has to individually go before him. If we find ourselves in that condition, it's a personal thing. You know, I'll pray with anybody concerning just about anything, but if they tell me they have been willfully sinning and they knew it was wrong, I'm going to say, you know what, brother or sister? You need to get on your knees. And you need to start sobbing and boo-hooing before the Most High that he forgive you. Because you place yourself in a situation where you need to show the Most High that you really are sorry. You don't need for me to be boo-hooing for you. And then you ain't truly repentant. And now I've gone and laid out before him and pleaded and begged, and then you ain't really repentant. So that's what I will tell them in a heartbeat, especially now that I know the difference. Let's continue. Verse 23. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Which things have indeed showed wisdom in will worship? Now, they're saying these doctrines of men. Which things have indeed showed wisdom in will worship? You know, how strong is your will to do these things or not do it? And humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. They're not totally bad things, but they are not the commandments and the doctrine of the Most High. These are things that men have made up, and sometimes they might be good, and sometimes they might be beneficial to you. But they can't supersede and override the commandments of the Most High. Cannot do that. So the argument is about clean people just being cleared of all their transgressions, having all their judgments wiped out. And he says, hey, don't let somebody judge you, find you guilty in these things. How do you become guilty? If you do it? No, that don't make you guilty. Is if you don't do what you're supposed to do. So if you're eating something unclean, yeah, you're guilty. But if you don't eat clean, these meats or whatever, then you are guilty. But if you're doing eating clean, you're not guilty. You're not going to be judged for that. But if you transgress, you're going to be judged. If you keep the Sabbath, you're not going to be found guilty for that. But if you don't keep it, you'll be found guilty for transgressing the commandment. The new moon. If you don't keep it, you're going to be found guilty for what? Transgressing the commandment. So they're using those verses because this is, you know, like I said, this is the way people typically talk. And they have used this thing, well, you know, you can't judge me. You can't judge me in these things. If you are transgressing, yes, the law judges you. And I can quote you the law on it. So the law judges you. You still eating unclean, the law judges you. You don't keep the Sabbath, the law judges you. You don't keep the feast days, the law judges you. You don't keep the new moon, the law judges you. But they want to keep, they want to use it to shut your mouth. They want to use it to shut you down. But you should know now how to interpret these verses, how to use these verses, and what the intent of the verse is. So that they can't shut you down and tell you, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. The ordinances were removed from you. The ordinances was not the law. It was not the statutes and the commandments. The ordinances were the judgments of the law that condemned you. Those were removed. I'm wiping out your charges. I'm wiping them out. Now, don't go back and get new charges. That's what this is talking about. And while you are don't have no charges against you, don't let nobody bring new charges against you for the Sabbath, for the meats, for the feast days, for the new moons. Don't let nobody bring new charges against you. Don't you do something to cause new charges to be brought against you. This is what this whole chapter is talking about. And don't let nobody fool you with the doctrines of men, the commandments of men. The Most High has already spoken on these things. So on this evening, I want to invite you all to come and keep the new moon. Let us get forgiven for anything that we have done ignorantly. I'm not going to pray for your sins that you know are wrong. You need to go before the Most High. Because the scriptures tell us, if we are in sin, we should not take communion. Because we are not discerning of his body. We are disrespecting what he did. We are disrespecting him. We're not discerning what we're doing. We're really doing wickedness. So on this evening, have your meal prepared. Have your bottle of grape juice or wine, whatever you use. If it is new and has not been blessed, we will bless it. Because just remember, once it's blessed, you can't treat it as common. You can't be drinking out of it. I'm just going to have a glass of wine with my meal. No, this has been blessed. It's different. It's been consecrated. It's only supposed to be used for ceremonies now, not with your meal. You know, you got people that just don't discern, just don't respect anything, just some wine. No, once we have consecrated, it is no longer just a bottle of wine or a bottle of grape juice. That leaven, that whatever you're using for your unleavened bread for the body, once we bless it, it's no longer just unleavened bread to be consumed, you know, as you want to consume it. You have to have respect. This is special. It's consecrated. It's holy. Not just anybody and everybody can partake in it. You got a friend drop by, hey, I see some grape juice in it. Can I have some? If the bottle ain't marked holy, yeah, you can have some. But if it's at my special, no, you can't. You got to be willing to tell them that. So I pray that we understand now that this was a requirement given to us by the Most High. It's not just, you know, let's do this. Let's go one more place. Let's go to Second Chronicles. The book of Second Chronicles. Because, see, you know, so that we know that these are official. We know in Numbers, we know the Most High said from month to month, you will do this. And you will offer these sacrifices at the beginning of the month. The beginning of the month starts with the new moon. So when I say the new moon, you know, some, you know, people get offended for a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is, new moon for us just means new month. And we're actually physically looking at the moon to determine when that new month is. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And Solomon sent to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of Yah my Elohim, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, and on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of Yah our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. Solomon was trying to make it back right again. He was actually trying to, he wasn't making it back right, and he was saying, hey, I'm instituting these things that are in the law. I'm building a house to Yah that I can make these sacrifices as ordered by Moses. As ordered by Moses. Now, we know Moses didn't order anything. The Most High ordered it through Moses. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, and then we'll wrap this up. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. We're going to get verses 12 and 13. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto Yah on the altar of Yah, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandments of Moses, on the Sabbath days, on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts, three times in a year, even the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. He offered these things, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the solemn feasts, the yearly feasts. The thing I want us to understand is the new moons are in here. This is not something that is new. Now, why Israel don't want to keep it as a whole, I can't tell you that. I just know that the Most High showed it to me and said, you ought to be keeping this. And so I wanted to make sure that I taught it today so that, as I said, I'm going to go back and document this, and I'm going to send it out to all the Hebrews I know, because they are in violation. They want to keep the yearly feast days, but then don't want to keep his new moon. Want to say we keep the Sabbath, but don't want to keep his new moon, his beginning. And this is this day, his new moon is equivalent to the Sabbaths, to the yearly feast days. It's mentioned right along with them. So we are not in violation. I want you to understand that as for Yah's global kingdom, ministries, when we know to do better, we going to do better. Period. Period. So I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to show them, but I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if they don't do it. I'm showing you, as those that listen to me, by the scriptures, this is when it was instituted. This is the way, this is why we do it. This is the way it's going to be in the future. This is what we're supposed to be doing now. This is what is substituted for the sacrifices. I'm showing you so that you have word behind it. You don't have the opinion of Brother Miles, but you have the word of the Most High behind it. And I'm showing you where, in the context of the scripture, where people have twisted the verses because not understanding those words. You know, when you think that ordinance means commandments and laws and statutes and precepts, then you would say he removed that because this is what they're doing. But that word ordinance doesn't mean that. It means judgment. He removed the judgments, the charges that were against you. And he says, now don't let nobody judge you in these things. Don't let you don't be found guilty in these things. You just got cleaned up. All your sins were removed. All your transgressions were removed. And now you're going to go transgressing these things again? This is what he's saying. No, don't let nobody judge you in these things. Don't be found guilty in these things. Not doing them. Because you're commanded to do them. You're not commanded not to do them. You're commanded to do them. Let us bow our heads. Father, Yah, we thank you for your word on this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to see that you have made a special time of the month, that every month, that you would meet us. And you have given us the requirements that we should blow the trumpet at this time and that you would come and that you would meet your people. And this was supposed to be a joyous time. And that as long as we are not willfully sinning, that we are walking before you with everything that we have, and we're not out here running around doing dirt and then trying to come back to you and say, oh, I'm sorry. We're not acting wicked and evil. You're saying you want us to do these things. But if we are in these things, if we are doing evil, you don't want us coming before you. You told Israel your priesthood that they were doing wickedness, that they were doing evil. And then you got the nerve to bring me sacrifices. I don't want your sacrifices. I hate them. I hate them because you're in sin, and this is something that I wanted to be happy with you about. I wanted to find pleasing from you, and I don't find this pleasing. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us clarity. Thank you for giving us your understanding and your motivation for why you do and do not want a sacrifice from your people. That we might know, that we might not come before you in offense. And we might not come before you and present something that stinks to you, but that we might come before you, Father, to offer ourselves that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto you, in the days that you have appointed. This is an appointment that you have made at the beginning of months. This is an appointment that you have made on your weekly Sabbaths. This is an appointment that you have made on your solemn feast days. This is an appointment you have made during your yearly feast that we have to keep. And Father, we want to be right before you. We want to be able to come and be in your presence and not have you turn up your nose at us, but that you be fanning your face, bringing in all these prayers and this worship, and it be a sweet smell unto you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, we have the new moon service, the beginning of month service. And as I said, everybody listening, I pray that you attend. Don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to your former teachers because they're not doing it anyway. And you are commanded by the law. By the covenant, even in the new covenant, to keep these things. You know, people want to say, and here's the gist, and here's the gist. Try to tell you that you're not up under the law in the New Testament. Therefore, they are going to interpret these things that you don't have to do these things. It's because of the spirit that they are in that they're getting these interpretations. But when you understand that the Torah, the New Covenant, is not telling you that you don't have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, when you understand that, then you understand you will interpret these scriptures in a whole different vein, a whole different mindset. So we will see everybody on this evening. Make sure that you prepare your meal. As I say, get your grape juice, your unleavened bread, and come back and let's celebrate Yah. Let's go before him and let's celebrate him. Let's be a sweet smell in his nostril. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember that I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.